Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We join them.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 14 is the one we're going to focus on. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. That word glory means what God originated and intended. So God originated and intended that He be the highest, that He be the highest on earth. See, that's why Jesus came, that you and I would keep God in the highest place. That was the reason for the birth of Jesus, that you and I would keep Jesus and God in the highest place, because that was His original intent. Now, it says that His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Jesus was the Word. God sent the Word to earth that we would understand the highest ways of God. Am I making sense? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. See, that's what we want to do. We want to keep God in His highest place. Why did Jesus come? Now look at this. In the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace. He came to bring peace. I'm telling you, we need some peace, don't we? What's happened to our world? Our world is nothing but conflict and strife and war. Peace, we're never going to see peace on earth until peace is in our hearts. It has to begin in our hearts. That's why we got to get Jesus up in our heart. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you don't have peace, because God is the God of peace. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child has been born, Jesus, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of His government and peace there will be no end." You see, when He comes into your heart, His government and peace, He's going to rule inside of you, and it's going to produce peace inside of you, and there'll be no end. You see, that's the idea. You want Him ruling in you, and that produces peace. Not anxiety, not worry. When you got Him and you got a relationship with Him, you're going to have peace. And you know what the word peace means? Reconciliation. That's why He came, to reconcile man back to God, to bring peace between God and man on earth. Because man was at war with God. Man was at war with God. And the word reconcile means to bring together that which was separated. The word reconcile means peace. It's important that we understand this. On earth, peace, reconciling. When we begin to reconcile, then goodwill toward men is going to take place. When you and I begin to reconcile. We're reconciled with God, and now we're in the ministry of reconciliation. Now the goodwill toward men is going to begin. That's the only way it's going to happen. If you and I get Jesus in our heart, and we got peace, and now we're operating and living out the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, to bring together that which was separated. Peace. We're to bring peace. Now watch this. Much of our world's history is the story of conflict, war, and strife. In the past 5,000 years, there has been nearly 15,000 wars. That's only the ones that we have recorded and documented. We as humans don't seem to be good at living in or at peace with each other. We are much better at disagreeing, fighting, and living in strife and conflict. Over 100 years ago, it was believed that if we would get people educated, that wars would cease. If we would get them educated, wars would cease. Until the First and Second World War broke out among the most educated people in the world. Now, that did away with that idea, didn't it? That idea that if we educate them, because let me tell you something, you can't legislate peace and you can't educate peace in someone's heart, can you? It's only going to come from Jesus. It's only going to come when you have him in your heart and you have a relationship with God. Now, I have ministered in prisons all over Ohio, thousands of inmates. For years, I was going in and out of prison all over Ohio. And I ministered to doctors, lawyers, teachers, all kinds of educated people within the prisons. See, education doesn't keep you out of prison, does it? Education doesn't keep you from warring and doing what's wrong, does it? That's why we need Jesus. Now watch this. We need education too. I'm not downing education. I believe in education. But now watch this. An educated mind does not produce a peaceful heart. The Bible depicts there are three areas of peace that God is trying to work and trying to show us. And that is peace with God, the peace of God, and the peace with one another. Peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore we are justified by faith in God and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 4:6 it says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ. You see, the only way you're going to have peace is if you have peace with God, and now you can talk to him and pray to him, and it removes anxiety and worry, and now you have the peace of God in you. You see that? And that protects your heart and mind. And then, when you have peace with God and peace of God, now you're going to be a minister of reconciliation, of bringing peace with others. You will not tolerate being in unforgiveness. You see that? You won't tolerate strife and unforgiveness, and you're not going to be a person that holds grudges and always, you know, resentment and bitterness. That's not going to reside in your heart because you are a person of peace. Am I making sense? When Jesus is in your heart and he's ruling in your heart. So, reconciliation is the cure for broken lives and broken relationships. It diffuses conflict and turns chaos into order. It turns tension into tranquility and produces peace of mind instead of fear and panic or stress and anxiety. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The beginning of peace in our lives is to understand what causes conflict. When we begin to understand what causes conflict, then we're going to begin to understand peace. One of the things that causes conflict is selfishness. Self-centeredness, being selfish, always got your mind on yourself, greedy, selfishness. When your way doesn't agree with somebody else's agenda, then it creates conflict and war. Selfishness is one of the roots of why we have war. Now, I remember this story about this antique dealer, and he really knew his antiques. And he went in, he heard about this restaurant to go and eat, and he thought, well, I'm gonna go try out this restaurant. So he walks in this restaurant. In the lobby of this restaurant, there's this cat eating out of this bowl. And he looks at this cat and thinks, what's going on? And then he looks at this bowl. And this bowl is a very rare antique that this cat is eating out of. He's thinking, man, that is a, so he called it the name of it, and he said, that is a, you know, so he goes, that is worth thousands of dollars. So he's thinking, he goes on in the restaurant, and he goes in there and begins to eat, and then he starts meditating on how he's going to get that bowl, because he wants that bowl, because it's worth thousands of dollars. So he's eating and thinking, how can I get that bowl? I want that bowl. That bowl is going to be mine. So he's thinking and over, ruminating, musing over this, how he's going to do this. He gets done with his meal. He walks up to the owner of the restaurant. He's at the cash register. He says, you know, I saw that cat when I came in. He goes, I'd like to have that cat. He says, I'll give you $25 for your cat. He says, no, I'm not going to sell my cat. He says, well, I'll give you $50 for your cat. He says, no, I don't want to get rid of my cat. And he starts getting angry. He says, I'll give you $100 for your cat. He says, I'm not going to get rid of my cat. He said, I will give you $200 for your cat. He starts really getting angry. He goes, well, you know what? I'll let you have the cat for $200. So he sells him the cat for $200. And he bends down. He's picking up the cat. He starts petting the cat. And he looks at the guy and he says, well, now, since you sold me the cat, it's only right that I get its dinner bowl. He says, oh, no, you can't have the dinner bowl. He says, that's my lucky bowl. He says, I've sold 50 cats this week. It was all about him. You see? Selfishness. Are you with me? We'll do anything. We'll scheme. We'll do anything to get what we want, won't we? Reconciliation. Now watch this. The second thing is, the reasons for conflict, expecting others to meet needs that only God can meet. We put demands on others instead of going to God. People get married with unrealistic expectations and end up in divorce. No human being can truly meet all your needs. That's God's job. Instead of complaining and blaming others for your unmet needs, the Bible instructs us to ask God. In James chapter 1, he says, you have not because you ask not. Now, I'm going to go to James chapter 1, and I want to read to you where these wars come from. James 4, 1, I'm sorry, excuse me. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires and your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. We're not dependent on God. That's why we have such wars going on inside of us. If we would pray as much as we complain and quarrel and fight, we would have a lot less to argue about and a lot more peace of mind if we prayed instead of complaining and murmuring against someone. Am I making sense? Complaining cuts off the Spirit of God in your life, literally. David said in Psalm 77:3, he said, I was overwhelmed in my spirit and I complained. When you complain, your spirit is overwhelmed. Your spirit is how you communicate with God. When you complain about things, you are cutting off your communication with God. I don't care how long you've been a believer. You cut it off when you start complaining. Now watch this. In reality, there will never be peace in the world until there is peace within our nations. And there will never be peace in our nation until there's peace in our communities. And there will never be peace in our communities until there is peace in our families. And there will never be peace in our families until there is peace in us as individuals. It starts with us. When Jesus comes in our heart and he begins to rule within us, then that's where peace begins. Now, when you realize you are trying to live your own way instead of God's way, you are in conflict with God. And that's called rebellion. The word rebellion is taken from the Belgian War. Rebellion. Re means back to. I'm back to again. I'm ready to war again for what I want. I want what I want when I want it and how I want it. And I want my way. And I'm willing to war for my way. That's rebellion. This is a universal problem. Rebellion is a universal problem. The Bible declares in Isaiah 53:6 that we all like sheep have gone astray. We've everyone turned towards his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. See, we've all gone astray. We're all doing our own way, the prophet Isaiah declared. We're all doing our own thing. And that's where the war is. That's this hidden war within. We're doing our own thing. and we're not yielding to God, and we're not going to Him and depending on Him. And that's where that conflict is on the inside of us. Symptoms of being at war with God are a quick temper, irritability, confusion, insecurity, impatience, manipulation, pride, holding grudges, and many other attitudes and habits that the Bible depicts as the works of the flesh. The Message translation translates Galatians 5:19 in this way. Now listen to this. It is obvious that what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Loveless, cheap sex. That's Message Bible. Loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or to be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolling addictions. In contrast, the effects of being reconciled, in contrast to all those works of the flesh and all that negativity and wanting your own way, to be reconciled, you know what, when you are reconciled to God, you know what that produces? In Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control. How many of us need self-control? You see, that's the fruit of the Spirit of God. When we've been reconciled to God, that's what we're going to produce in our life. That's the fruit that's going to come out of our life. Now watch this. There is a longing within every one of us to be at peace with our physical father. I used to say if I could just please my dad, things would be all right. You know, it's crazy what we do to please our parents. We'll do all kinds of stupid things to try to please them. You know what? We'll never please them. But you see, the idea is we got to please God. You can't please people. I found out I couldn't please my dad. You know, he was proud of me and all that, but it's just like, you know, you don't ever get to a point where he's all pleased. That deeper need in you to please your father is really rooted in the need to please God. And that's what you're born with. That's that void in you. Every one of us has a need to please God. People try to fill that void with all kinds of things, activities, achievements, drugs, affairs, you know, being entrepreneurs and just, you know, everything, you know, just all devoted into, all trying to fill that void. Nothing wrong with some of those things, but you see what I mean. They try to fill that void instead of that relationship with God. And nothing else will fill that void. Only God can fill that void. Nothing else can compensate for a broken relationship. Nothing. How do you fill that void? When we are willing to totally surrender to God, to give up the notion that you know more about what you need than your Creator God does about what you need, and to give up rebellious attitudes that we can pick and choose which of God's ways we will follow. See, we want to pick and choose what we want to follow. That's why we don't want to get plugged in and connected, because we just want to do our own thing. See? And that's where our own agenda gets in conflict with someone else's agenda. That's what happens. That's why unity in the body of Christ is so valuable, because where there's unity, there's peace. It's the bond of peace. And that's the presence of God. The presence of God can only operate where there's peace. And you got somebody trying to do their own thing all the time, they're polluting the presence. Are you with me? Does that make sense? And that's the same way it is in a family. When a family has no unity, someone's bucking against, you see that? It creates conflict. And it actually will cause war and conflict and misery and no healing and no presence of God. Because God only operates in peace, where there's peace and unity. That's why we have to deem the unity of the Spirit above our own agenda. Because we can't just come in here and do our own thing, right? Because if we come in and do, then we'll start conflict. And then the people coming in the door, they're not going to get healed. They're not going to be restored. Nothing's going to happen because too many people want their own way. But when we have unity, God says, I command the blessing. Now, the peace of God. We want to pick and choose what God says and follow what we want to follow. The key here is to surrender. Why surrender? Because you cannot win a war with God. You'll never win a war with God. He will always win. But when you surrender and you begin to yield to Him and humble yourself and go to Him, it produces peace in you. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's divine order. Righteousness is relationship with God first. It produces peace and then joy in the Holy Spirit. What steals our peace? Uncontrollable circumstances, illnesses, deaths, layoffs, people who refuse to cooperate with your plan to change them. When life seems to be unfair, people begin to try harder and harder and harder. That's a guarantee of failure. The only way you're going to have true peace is by responding to situations the way Jesus responded to them. And folks, that produces peace in you. And it leaves you in a place where you can make a wise decision. He said, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light." You see, when you go to Him and you're learning of Him, He gives you rest in your soul. Peace on how to respond to circumstances, how to act when things happen that are out of your control. See, now you got Him in His highest place. Remember, the word glorified means value. What I value more than my problems. I value God more than my problems. See, now He's in His highest place. Now He can produce peace in you regardless of what you're going through because you got Him in His rightful place and He's glorified. See, what happens is we get into our problems and we start thinking about our problems more than anything else, and that's just a downward spiral. But when we got God in His highest place, in the rightful place, it's going to produce peace on earth and towards men in you. When you have made peace with God and begin to experience the peace of God in your heart, God wants you to have the joy of being at peace with others. All the people in your life, He calls you to be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. What's a peacekeeper? A peacekeeper is one who will do anything just to keep the peace. You know, they'll do anything just to keep, that's a coward. Well, I don't want to talk about it. That's a coward. I don't want to stir up anything. I don't want to listen to all that. Keep the peace. And all the time, war's going on inside, strife. Am I making sense? But when you're a peacemaker, you're willing to confront because your goal is peace. Your goal is to reconcile. When you're a peacemaker, God gives you the desire and the ability and power to reconcile with people which you have conflict. He gives you that desire. Because see, when you're not a peacemaker and you're just a peacekeeper, you no longer have that desire. You don't have that desire. You just wimp. And you're going to get walked on, and you're never going to fulfill the plan and purpose of God, being a peacekeeper. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." That word sons represents maturity. Those who are peacemakers, they are maturing in the things of God. Now look at this. When you attempt to restore broken relationships, you are doing what God would do. You're doing what Jesus would do. When you help bring people together who are estranged from one another, you are acting like Jesus. The Bible calls this the ministry of reconciliation. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Not avoiding conflict, not running from problems or pretending they don't exist. When someone says, "I don't want to talk about it," remember, they're a coward. Don't settle for that. If your spouse is always saying that, say, "Talk to me. We got to talk about this. It's not me and you against each other. It's me and you against the problem. Talk to me. Reconcile. Bring together." That's what it's, because you see, if you don't, it's slowly going to separate you. Friends that have hurt you, talk to me. "I don't want to talk about it." Talk to me. Look at me in the eye, right? Folks, listen. If you are one that just keeps burying that, you're going to be a miserable, bitter person. It can cause cancer. It has that kind of power in your life. You must communicate. When you promote reconciliation with relationships that break down and offer forgiveness to those who have hurt you, you pass on the grace that God has shown you. You bring people together rather than to divide them with your own agenda. See, You divide, you bring division when you always have your own agenda and you're always getting mad about your way. I want it my way. It's got to be my way. That divides. That doesn't bring anything together. You see, when you go to God, you'll yield and you'll draw back. And now you operate in the Spirit of God, which is long-suffering, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering is always towards people. Patience is always towards circumstances. A lot of people think those two are the same. They're not. Patience is towards circumstances. Long-suffering is towards people. That's why you got to be willing to put up with some stuff and still offer forgiveness and grace, because it's towards people. People don't realize they're hurting you sometimes because they're hurting so bad they can't see it. Many are reluctant to reconcile strained relationships because they don't understand forgiveness and trust. They're afraid if they reconcile, they have to return to a hurtful or dysfunctional relationship without change taking place. That is a misunderstanding of reconciliation. Reconciliation ends hostility. When you continue to work on problems, but now, here's what you do. When you are a minister of reconciliation, you are always ready to work on problems. But now watch this. But now you work on those problems with respect and love, not sarcasm and anger. It's sarcasm and anger that brings division. Some people, they act like, you know, they're really being sarcastic, but they're smiling. They have that sardonic grin on their face. Remember sardonic? It's taken from the Sardinian plant. And when they mistake the Sardinian plant in biblical days, and they would eat it, and they would die laughing. See, that's what sarcasm is rooted in, the sardonic plant. They would die laughing. So you're smiling, but inside you're thinking, you rippity-rap, but you're smiling. And you're really not solving anything when you're operating in sarcasm. When you focus on reconciliation first, problems begin to dissipate. The difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness is to be instant and now. You're not to wait around for forgiveness. We offer it to others in the same way God offers it to us. We forgive so we can get on with our lives instead of getting stuck in past resentment and bitterness. Because past resentment and bitterness will destroy you. Every time you rehearse what someone has done to you to hurt you, you allow them to hurt you again. Resentment is self-destructive because it hurts you the most. Christmas is all about glory to God in the highest. When He is in the highest place, you are going to forgive and you are going to be concerned with bringing people together and reconciling. That's going to be in your heart because you have peace. A good time to give the gift of the grace of God to others is now. Some of you are going to be with relatives that you have resentment and unforgiveness towards. But God is calling you to reconcile. When you see those people, God's calling you to see them with love. No matter what they've done, God wants you to love them. That's reconcile. But you can't do that if Jesus is not in here. It begins with peace in your heart. If you are thinking, I could never forgive this person who has hurt me, I could never forgive my father. You don't know what he sexually abused. He hurt me. He used to physically hit me, abused, all kinds of things when I was... Folks, you can forgive anything. God, the Holy Spirit will empower you to forgive anything that's ever been done. Well, my parents dropped me off on a doorstep and I've never met them. God has a plan for you. And you can forgive them and you can walk in that plan and minister reconciliation. The memories are painful. That's why we need a Savior. See, we can't do it on our own. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Jesus. And that's why He came, to give us the ministry of reconciliation. Peace. Peace with God, peace of God in us, ruling, and peace with man.
You have been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.